Friends, our scripture reading today is from the Gospel of Luke. Luke chapter 10, verses 25 through 33, or 23 through 35. Just then, a lawyer stood up to test Jesus. "Teacher," he said, "what must I do to inherit eternal life?" And Jesus said to him, "What is written in the law? What do you read there?" He answered, "You shall love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, with all of your mind, and with all of your strength, and your neighbor as yourself." And Jesus said to him, "You have given the right answer. Do this, and you will live." But wanting to justify himself, he asked Jesus, "And who is my neighbor?" Jesus replied, "A man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell into the hands of robbers, who stripped him, beat him, and went away, leaving him half dead. Now, by chance, a priest was going down that road, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. So likewise, a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, while traveling, came near him, and when he saw him, he was moved with pity. He went to him and bandaged his wounds, having poured oil and wine on them. Then he put him on his own animal, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. The next day he took out 2 denarii, gave them to the innkeeper, and said, 'Take care of him, and when I come back, I will repay you whatever more you spend.' Which of these three, do you think, was a neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of robbers?" The lawyer said, "The one who showed him mercy." And Jesus said to him, "Go and do likewise." How many of you have ever heard that story before? Quite a few. It's such a common story to tell, and it's a wonderfully written story and a story that helps us understand so much. It's what I have just recently decided to call one of the even stories. An even story by Jesus. Either a story told by Jesus or about Jesus that says, even they get it. Why don't you, then, is the implication. So even the demoniac who was so tortured with so many struggles, he understood who Jesus was. Why don't you? Or even the woman at the well, with all of her past and all of her difficulty understanding at the beginning, came to understand who the Messiah was and to share it with excitement with others. Why don't you? Even the tax collectors and the prostitutes long for a change and long for forgiveness. Then why don't we? See, there's even the story that sounds so strange of this dishonest manager, this dishonest steward who, when the chips were really down, when the end was coming, he could snap too and he could really get to work. And then he could wheel and deal. He had so many skills he hadn't used. Why don't you use yours for the kingdom? And then later in Luke, there's 10 lepers who are healed, and only one returns. Even the leper who was a Samaritan understood about thankfulness. Jesus asks implicitly, why don't you? And this story, where those who would be expected to stop, the priest and the Levite, the layperson who was going to the temple to help with the work there, they not only passed by the man, they saw him, but they saw him not as a neighbor, but as a burden or perhaps a threat. And they went all the way over to the other side of the street and passed by. But the Samaritan, even the Samaritan of the group who was hated by the Judeans, he saw the man and he was moved with pity. That's what this translation of the Bible said. Others say moved with compassion, but the literal words were his guts were twisted. He felt compassion in his guts, and there was no way that he could walk on without helping this man. The Samaritan knew it. Jesus tells these new stories because they had, and we have, such a history of opposition, of againstness. The Jews and the Samaritans had shared the same story for many years, but ever since the first exile, they had departed ways, and the Samaritans worshipped on a different hill, and they had some other different beliefs. And so the Jews hated them so fiercely, with a kind of fierce hatred that only when brothers part ways they could have with each other. And Jesus says, we need new stories, because we cannot have a new future without new stories. I came across a quote recently, and I'm sorry I haven't been able to find the person who first wrote this, but it's so powerful, saying that peacemaking doesn't mean passivity. It is the act of interrupting injustice without mirroring injustice, the act of disarming evil without destroying the evildoer, the act of finding a third way that is neither fight nor flight, but the careful, arduous pursuit of reconciliation and justice. It is about a revolution of love that is big enough to set both the oppressed and the oppressor free. New stories interrupting, disrupting, and disturbing the patterns of beliefs and traditions that have kept us apart from each other. There's something quite curious about this story. That the Pharisee, or rather the lawyer, had come to Jesus asking, what do I have to do to have eternal life? And in Luke, it's the words came out of the lawyer's mouth. It's to love God with all of your heart, mind, soul, and strength, and to love your neighbor as yourself. He knew this. He believed this. But Jesus said to him, do this, and you will live. But Jesus doesn't say anything about the Samaritan's belief. He shows us what the Samaritan does. He was moved with compassion. Having the right beliefs, as the lawyer did, is important. It helps us to have an understanding of where we need to go, but it is incomplete. Having the right beliefs, Barbara Brown Taylor says, does not put a cup of water into the hands of a thirsty person. Having the right beliefs does not bandage the wounds of the injured. Having the right belief does not provide a bed for the traveler. And then she says this, right beliefs don't mean anything unless they are accompanied by the right actions. Actions born out of love, of compassion, out of the strength of God's love for us. She goes on to point out that if we would have had a chance to interview this traveler after he was beaten, and to say, there's going to be three people who pass by you, which one do you think will stop? Will it be the priest or the Levite or a Samaritan? He would not have chosen the Samaritan. He would have been wrong. Wrong. Question comes, do we always have our beliefs first, and then we go and do our actions, and as long as we have the right beliefs, we'll always do the actions? Well, sometimes our beliefs are incomplete. We don't know enough to do the right actions. And often, it's our experiences which help us to readjust what we believed before, especially when it's beliefs about other people. People who are different, maybe even beliefs about ourselves and who we are, what we're capable of. We could have studied in a classroom and taught the kids about helping the people of Detroit and reaching out to the poor. But when the kids and those adults with them went to Detroit and they worked alongside other people, when they did the kind of work that others were asked to do, when they saw and experienced the neighborhoods and got to meet people, then their beliefs grew. They knew more because of what they did. Sometimes our beliefs follow our actions when we commit ourselves in love. at a conversation once that in some ways was mirrored many times in my experiences in Storm Lake and in Perry, where there was a great deal of immigration in both of those communities. I spoke one time in the hospital with a woman who was, I think, 98 at the time. She was born in 1902. And she was talking about the changes in Storm Lake over those years. And she said something general, like, "I really don't care for all of these Mexicans in town, but I like my neighbor. My neighbor I really like. She's a wonderful person." And she went on and told me stories about her wonderful neighbor and who had been there to visit her, or this neighbor who had immigrated from Mexico. And all I heard that as a story of, "I don't like all of those people, but the ones I know, I like." It takes those actions to get to know and experience other people. And then we realize how God has blessed them and has blessed others and has blessed us by knowing them. So on this World Communion Sunday, where we recognize how we're connected with people all around the world, with our Christian sisters and brothers, we're reminded of how wrong we've been time and time again. About 10 or 15 years ago, I thought, you know what? Each person who I count as a really close friend, I thought was a jerk when I first met them. When will I recognize that I'm just not very good at reading people and understand? And we are like that as a people as well. Jesus calls us to be drawn toward each other, and we should follow that bidding. And we realize on this Sunday how much we are blessed by each other. And we're encouraged to love our neighbors next door and around the world, to seek opportunities to reach out, to love and care, and to be cared for. The core of our beliefs is not pious actions, or Jesus would have praised the Sadducees over and over. The core of our faith, of Christianity, is not an ethnicity, or Jesus would have rejected the Gentiles and the Samaritans. The core is not a pure past, or Jesus would have rejected the woman at the well. The core is not right beliefs, or Jesus would have praised the Pharisees to the heavens. No, the core of our beliefs, the guts of it all, is love in action. Love as an immigration legal clinic, as a medical clinic. Love as donations for flood relief. Donations of clothing and food, meals served in the basement and in the shelter. The core of our beliefs are genuine welcome and joy with one another. This is what we understand and know to be true. For God loved us in action. God loved us in the flesh of Jesus Christ. We ought also to love others with our actions. Even I can get that. Even you can do that. Amen.